Let us turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 7 and verse 17. The book of Genesis, chapter 7 and verse 17. The Bible says, "And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth." Notice what the word of God is saying here. The waters came, and after some time, the waters, which became a source of terror for the world, lift up the ark of Noah. Praise God. The waters lifted him up. I like to compare this to baptism in Jesus' name, which lifts us up to heaven in Jesus' name. Praise God. Can somebody say hallelujah? Say, baptism lifts me up to heaven. Baptism is the water in Jesus' name that will lift you up to heaven. Praise God. The waters buried all those who refuse to repent. But once we obey Acts 2:38, we repent in Jesus' name, like Noah and his family. And we enter the ark. We have nothing to fear. The ark is Jesus. There is no storm that can destroy Jesus. Brothers and sisters, if you are baptized in Jesus' name, you have entered into Jesus. And when the waters fell, the ark was lifted up. Jesus Christ is the ark into which we've entered. And when he returns, he will lift us up. He will come in the clouds. And the Bible says, at the sound of the trumpet, praise God, we will be lifted up. Say, I will be lifted. I will be lifted up. Just as Noah was lifted up, I will be lifted. Do you believe this? Say with me, amen, in Jesus. Praise God. We were baptized to be lifted up to heaven. Praise God. What a beautiful picture. It lifted him up. Below is destruction. But we are not looking for the destruction. We are looking for the salvation in Jesus' name to lift us up, praise God, to heaven, where Jesus is waiting to receive us. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a wonderful hope. What a wonderful future. If you are not baptized in Jesus' name, what are you waiting for? That's why the Ethiopian eunuch said, "See, here is water. What is hindering me from being baptized?" You know why he had a sense of urgency? Because he understood that judgment can come at any time. So here is water. What is hindering me? Be baptized today in the name of Jesus. Because when the storm comes, when the flood comes, it will not destroy you. Rather, it will lift you up to be with Jesus. Who doesn't want to be lifted up to meet Jesus? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Nothing could lift Noah up to heaven, so to speak, except the waters. Praise God. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 5, unless a man is born again of the water, somebody say the water and the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. We need water to lift us up to Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Be saved by the water in the name of Jesus. Praise God. I hope everyone here is saved by water in Jesus' name. If you are, shout hallelujah. If you are, rejoice that you, God gave you the grace to be obedient to this message of salvation. Bless whoever shared that message with you. That was your best friend on this earth. The person who told you there is a flood coming, destruction is coming. Be baptized in. There is an ark that God Himself has built. That ark is the Word made flesh. His name is Jesus. Enter into this ark. Save yourselves from the destruction that is to come. Thank God He gave us grace to obey. Thank God He opened our ears. While people around us laughed and mocked, some were totally indifferent. But something in us said, this is a voice of truth. This is a voice of God. I'm drawn towards it. I will obey, praise God. And you enter into the ark. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God for that day. We need to talk about what happened in the story of Noah, because it is relevant today, isn't it? Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be before the Son of Man returns, before Jesus returns. Amen. So this is not an old story that belongs to a distant past. No, no, no. This story is more contemporary. It is more real. It is more true and relevant than tomorrow's newspaper. Remember Noah. Remember Lot. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we know the days and the horrible spiritual condition that existed in those days. Brothers and sisters, there comes a time in human history when the word of God is not preached anywhere anymore. When the voice that wants to silence the preachers is greater than the voice of the preachers. There comes a time when, before God sends a flood of destruction, there is already a flood of destruction of evil on the earth. Do not think that God is a merciless God. There was already a flood that came and already destroyed the world. It was a flood of sin. It was a flood of evil. Amen. So in a sense, there were two floods. The world already experienced a deluge. It was overwhelmed with sin. The voice of truth was so weak that even God said, my spirit will not strive with man again. It's a terrible day, brothers and sisters, when God says, and we are now nearing those days. Say with me, as it was in the days of Noah. One of these days, God will say, Jesus will say, my spirit will no longer strive with man. And when God says that, destruction comes, sadly. That's why we need to thank God. As long as people are, the voice of the preacher is being heard. The voice of Noah is not being overwhelmed by a flood of sin. Thank God that somebody is responding to the preaching somewhere. Hallelujah. Someone is downloading the message and someone is saying, I need to repent. There's hope. But in those days, there came a time when the voice of the preacher was too weak, too feeble. And sin was so loud, so powerful, that God said, enough, Noah. You've been preaching for 120 years. Have you noticed that no one is listening to you? Somebody says, how long will God be patient? Well, he was patient 120 years. Amen. Imagine a church that doesn't win one soul for 120 years. Can we say Jesus is merciful? Can we say Jesus is patient? Praise God. Hallelujah. Most people will close their churches right after a few years. But God told Noah, no, keep this church open. How long, Lord? Nobody's listening. 120 years. Praise God. Praise God. Can we appreciate the mercy of God? Can we appreciate the goodness of Jesus? Can we appreciate that he is a good God, a merciful God, a God who has been patient with us? He has been patient with me, very patient with me. And I bless him with all my heart. Bless him with all your heart. He's a good God. 120 years. 120 years. Lord, who are you waiting for? Nobody is going to come into the ark, Lord. Why? Because I love them. Because he made us in his own image. Even though he knew nobody would come, he still said, wait, wait. What an amazing God. What a great God. I love you, Jesus. Say with me, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. So the story builds up, and the day came that God said, sadly, I have to close the door. Enter into the ark. That was the saddest command that God gave ever since he made Adam and Eve. The saddest commandment. Don't think God is happy with the death of the wicked. He said it. Never before in the history of the world did God destroy so many human beings that he made. When God said it repented him that he made, it's painful. I want you to know God has his own tears, brothers and sisters. God has his own tears. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. When we see sin, we should weep with Jesus. When you see sin in your life, you should weep with Jesus. Praise God. There are no tears like the tears of Jesus. No tears like the tears of Jesus. Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. Why? He was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Why weep, Jesus? Jesus wept because death was not part of his plan, brothers and sisters. Death was not a part of his plan for us. So he wept to see Lazarus die, a Lazarus whom he loves so much. He was going to raise him up, and yet he cried. Why? Because death is his enemy. It's not only our enemy. He loves us so much that even though he was going to raise up Lazarus, he still cried to see Lazarus dead. Death is the most unnatural condition for human beings, brothers and sisters. It is the most unnatural in the order of God. Death is our doing. It's not God's doing. We brought death upon ourselves. But God brings life. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Praise God. There is no death in God. Only eternal life. Seek him. Stay with him. And you will live forever. You will have his life. And his life in abundance, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, praise God. This is a mighty God. He is our origin. I told somebody today, you will never find meaning in life. Life will be empty. 800 people kill themselves every year in this country where I am, in one of the best countries in the world to live in, richest. They're not killing themselves because of poverty. They are killing themselves because they do not find meaning in life. They find emptiness. Why? Because how can you enjoy a world that God has made and you ignore the author of this world? God spent 6 days making this earth for us. So many days. For what? For us. And then we ignore him? No, 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 no. You cannot enjoy this world or understand this world unless you first go to the one who made this world. Does it make sense? For me, it's clear. When the world confuses me, I go to Jesus. It might sound banal and strange, but I tell people when I pray, when I'm with my Jesus, even the cup of coffee becomes, drinking a cup of coffee becomes a profound spiritual act. I don't know how to explain. I look at the coffee and I say, "Blessed art thou, Jesus, who made the coffee plant." So this guy's crazy. You choose your label. I'm telling you what I feel. Then I go out into my garden and I bless the trees in Jesus. And I tell the trees, God made you. Everything to me becomes to life through Jesus. It's a beautiful world I live in. I can't explain it to you, but it all happens through Jesus. The trees are praising him. I'm taken back to the Garden of Eden. I remember the tree that Jesus cursed. I feel alive. I feel happy. And I bless Jesus. And life has profound meaning for me. Because God said, man shall not live by bread alone. It's forbidden. Do not make that mistake. Do not make that mistake. You will come under a curse. That curse is meaninglessness and depression and death. Because life is in Jesus. Life is not in your family. It is not in an education. It is not in politicians. It is not in food. It is not in a car. It is not in holidays. It is in Jesus. Praise God. But people have been going about it the wrong way and thinking that they can have enjoy life and life in abundance without Jesus. No. Do not listen to the lies of the devil. There was one man who refused to follow the world, although he was a minority. His name was Noah, a righteous man. Everybody around him was evil. But he said, I will be faithful to my God because I stand for the truth. It doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. I will live for my God. Noah was already dead to the world that was dead. You see? If you ask the question, how did he survive? How did he manage to keep himself pure when he was the only man with his family? I'll tell you, because he was already dead to the world. What does the Bible tell us to do? We are to die to this world. To love this world is enmity with God. Please listen to me. This is not my message. The Spirit of God is telling me to say this. Somebody still loves the world. You cannot have one foot in the world and one with Jesus. It doesn't work that way. It's schizophrenic. You cannot have a schizophrenic Christianity. Even to be lukewarm, God hates it. I wish that you were either hot or cold, Jesus told the church of Laodicea. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Be not unequally yoked together. The scriptures are clear. To love the world is enmity with God. Do you want to be like Noah? Die to the world. The world had no attraction for Noah. The world never tempted Noah because he was dead to the world. So when God told him, Noah, the end of all flesh has come, Noah must have thought, well, they're already dead, Lord. I was hoping you would revive them. They were already dead. Abraham did not, when he prayed to God, when he interceded with God, he didn't deny that Sodom and Gomorrah is dead. But somehow He was hoping to save these people who didn't deserve to be saved through the few righteous people. You see? What a great man Abraham was. So, Noah, remember the world of Noah. Say, remember Noah. You know, would somebody tell them, remember Noah. Remember Noah. Praise God. So here he was preaching for 120 years, and suddenly one day, pitter patter raindrops. The Bible says it never rained before that time. God sent a mist to water the earth. Rain, raindrops, clouds, lightning, thunder. It's new. There was a new sound, a new smell. There was rain falling from heaven. That day, everyone knew Noah was a true prophet. The first raindrop that hit, it had the name Noah upon it. Praise God. Every raindrop which hit Noah, 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 Noah. Praise God. Somebody shout, Noah. Everybody remembered his name. But there was only one man in the whole world for 120 years who was saying it's going to rain. And everybody laughed at him. And he built a giant boat to show them it's going to rain. They laughed. But the first raindrop that hit, hallelujah. It had the sound, Noah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Please do not wait for the prophet's words and the apostle's words to be fulfilled before you begin to believe. Believe today. Believe the prophets. Believe the apostles. Repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, and receive the Holy Ghost. Leave your sin, die to your life, give your life to Jesus. Today, now, in Jesus' name. It will be too late later. The moment the raindrops started to hit, I am certain many people sprinted towards Noah's Ark. Some were very far away. Some were close. It did not matter. I feel so sad for the one who was very close, but God already closed the door. Are you listening to me? That's why Jesus told the rich man, you are near the kingdom of heaven. You are not far, but what does it help? There were many people near the door of Noah's Ark, but God closed it. Jesus, have mercy. There are some people hearing this message who may still not be moved to enter into the ark. They were very close, but they couldn't enter. God shut the door. There comes a day that Jesus will shut the door to salvation. There will come a day that a person cannot repent, cannot be baptized in Jesus' name, cannot receive the Holy Ghost. There will be no water to lift you up to heaven. The water which lifts up the ark of Noah will not be there. There was no tragedy like the tragedy of those people. Now, water was everywhere. But that water was not there to save them. It was falling to destroy them. Brother, sister, I'm speaking to somebody. If you have been resisting baptism in the name of Jesus all these years, today 72% of the earth is filled with water. Be saved by water in Jesus' name, because the day will come that water will not save you. But God will send a fire to destroy, because people refuse to receive the fire of the Holy Ghost and be saved today. And there will come a fire which will destroy the earth. That which saves us will become that which destroys us. Either water and fire can save you today in Jesus' name, or it will destroy you. What will it be? What will it be? It's your decision. It's my decision. Praise God. Now, let me borrow your imagination. We have entered the ark with Noah. Don't you think for 40 days and 40 nights, that place was the holiest place ever? Hallelujah. Those children were the most obedient children in the ever. Because outside was the judgment of God. Children, obey your parents that you may live long. I hope some children are listening to me. That day, those children came to know their father was a prophet. Their father was a man of God. That day, they came to know their father saved them, praise God, when they listened to their father. In Jesus' name. May every father here, every mother become a Noah to their children. May you have 40 days and 40 nights of respect in the name of Jesus in your house. Not 40 days, 40 years in Jesus' name of respect. Sometimes I wish all our children were in the Ark of Noah. I'm telling you, those children were so obedient. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. Don't you think so? Hallelujah. God knows how to respect the father and mother who serve Jesus. He knows how to elevate you. He knows how to make your children respect you, praise God. That day, those children must have been shocked. When Noah said, let us pray. I don't know if they used to pray with him before, but I'm telling you, those children's knees must have become raw praying for 40 days and 40 nights. And if they ever forgot, there were waves outside to shake the boat a bit. There were animals to make noises to remind them that their father was a prophet. He was counted among the three righteous people in the world in those days. Noah, Daniel, and Job. May you be one of them. No one was more honored than Noah. Brother, sister, father, mother, I strongly urge you. I always pray for mothers and fathers. You are the Noah of your family. Do not get tired of correcting your children. Do not get tired of praying for them. Do not get tired of being a good example for them. Do not get tired of striving with them. God was striving with the world for 120 years. We don't live that long. Noah was striving with his children too. And what was his reward? They came into the ark with him. Ha! They came into the ark with him. Praise God. Praise God. You may not be able to save the uncles and the aunties and the cousins, first, second, third cousins, but at least he saved his nuclear family. Praise God. Don't go alone to heaven. Don't go alone to the new world. At least take your family with you. Take somebody with you in Jesus. Continue to fight for righteousness. Continue to be a preacher of righteousness. In Jesus' name, may the blessing of Noah be upon you. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, those were the most obedient children for 40 days and 40 nights. 40 days and 40 nights of holiness. Jesus, give us 40 days and 40 nights of prayer and holiness. Those 40 days and 40 nights, they did not hear one bad thing. They did not see one sin. People who love evil will die outside the ark. But if you love righteousness, if you are looking for a world in which there is no sin, there is no evil, this is my dream. When I think of it, I want to cry and say, Lord, take me to that world. The kingdom of God begins here in us. Noah loved righteousness. His family loved righteousness. And now there was no one to mock them. They did not hear any filthy words. There were no dirty movies around. There was no wickedness around. Nothing. Praise God. No distractions. Only the sound of the judgment of God. Outside and inside, the sound of prayer and worship and the fear of God in Jesus. May Jesus give every one of you an ark of Noah in your own house, in your own family, in Jesus. A place which is a sanctuary for God. A place which is holy. A place in which there is no corruption. I can tell you that day, those children left every filth. Today, we would say all the corruptions of the world, whatever waste of time, unnecessary screen time, no screen time in the ark, praise God. Only Jesus' time in the ark. Because all things have passed away and all things will become new. Praise God. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. We need to pay attention to the days of Noah. Now imagine with me that you enter a ship which has no captain. Anybody here would be brave enough to enter a ship and you ask, excuse me, where is the captain? By the way, where is the wheel of this boat, this ship? Where's the control room? And Noah tells you there is no control room. There is no wheel. There is no captain. The captain is Jesus. Ah, the captain is invisible. Will you enter such a ship? Will you enter such a ship? Hallelujah. Well, you have to know the God of Noah. You have to have faith in the God of Noah. You have to have faith in the God of Abraham. Praise God. Abraham, you know, the God that Abraham and Noah served, he had a habit of not telling you where he's taking. He'll give you some vague location. Come, I'll show you. Do you have faith to follow him? You know, it's like some people want to know, Lord Jesus, where are you? What's your address, by the way? And Jesus said, the fox have holes, the birds have nests. Imagine if you tell your government this. Can you please register your address here and say, and you write, the foxes have holes, the birds, but the Son of Man has nowhere to live. I think they'll send some people to arrest us, yeah? Our God lives everywhere. He is everywhere at the same time. He is the great I am. He doesn't need to tell us where he's taking us. But we humans want to control everything. God was telling Noah, I'm in control of the ship. I'm the captain. Enter the ship. Take a seat. Amen. Bon voyage. God is the captain. Say, Jesus is the captain of my salvation. I don't keep asking questions to Jesus. Where are you taking me, Jesus? Excuse me, Jesus. Are you sure you're on the right road, Jesus? Because this place doesn't look familiar to me. Have you heard people tell you that? I used to drive a taxi for 7 years, years long ago. The most difficult customers were the ones who used to speak like this to me. Are you sure you're going there? Doesn't look familiar. And I would tell them, excuse me, maybe you should be a taxi driver because I know where I'm taking you. So I can imagine God's frustration with us. We keep asking him questions. Lord, where are you taking? Lord, excuse me, what place is this? Noah never asked God, where are you heading? Where am I going? Abraham never asked God, where are you taking? I'm in the land of Canaan. What now? He was always patient. He trusts God. Say, I trust God. I trust God. He is captaining the ship. He is piloting the ship of my life. Praise God. Do you trust him? Are you in the ark, praying, worshiping at peace? May God bless you. Continue with that. Praise God. Hallelujah. What does it help if Noah begins to panic about where the ship is going? Makes no sense. You know, it's beautiful how the Bible tells us that slowly the waters rose. They kept rising, kept rising. And after some time, the waters covered the highest mountain. Somebody say the waters covered the highest mountain. Amen. Praise God. Did you know that's what happened? Praise God. Look at Genesis. Let's read a few scriptures from Genesis chapter 7. And let's read verses 18 and 19. Genesis 7, 18 and 19. And the waters prevailed. Somebody say, prevail. Say, the water of salvation will prevail in my life. Were you baptized in Jesus' name? I am telling you, the waters of salvation will prevail in your life in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Can you say, I believe it? I was baptized in Jesus' name, and the waters of my salvation will prevail in Jesus' name. Say, I will prevail. The power of salvation in the name of Jesus, which came down in the water. It will prevail. Hallelujah. When the devil tells you you won't make it, tell him, devil, just as the waters prevailed over every valley, say, prevail over every valley. Who is walking through the valley of the shadow of death? Say, the waters of my salvation will prevail, will prevail, will prevail. You know, the Bible says twice. Look at verse. Let's read verse 18 and 19. The waters prevailed and were increased greatly, say increased greatly, upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. Verse 19. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. Again, say prevail. The waters prevail, brothers and sisters. And all the high hills. You say, I have many problems. I have many mountains. Say, the waters of my salvation will prevail over every high hill. It says that were under the whole heaven were covered. Yeah, in Jesus' name. He's bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Don't be afraid of the hills and the valleys of problems, because the waters of your salvation will prevail in Jesus' name. You were not baptized in Jesus' name in vain. Jesus himself came down in the water. Jesus' blood was made available in the water. Hallelujah. We are talking about disinfectants. There is no greater disinfectant against sin than the blood of Jesus. His spirit came down in the water. He removed the flesh of Adam, the dead flesh. So once he removed the dead flesh, what does the water do? It raises up the ark, all the dead people who are buried under. And those who've had faith in the name of Jesus, the water will lift you in Jesus' name. The water with blood, the water with the Spirit lifted us. Until today, it is carrying us. It is carrying us. It's water. Before that, we were just in one place, isn't it? Noah could not move. When the waters came, he moved. People are dead until they are baptized in Jesus' name, and then the ark of their lives move. Hallelujah. You move in Jesus, and then you are raised up above the highest mountain. Ah, hallelujah. Do you know that Noah could say, people say, Edmund Hillary and Tenzin Norgay were the first to climb Mount Everest. I beg your pardon. Noah was the first. Somebody smile and say, hallelujah. I didn't think about it. Yes. By the waters of salvation, he was above Mount Everest. Hallelujah. Praise God. You will conquer the highest mountain. The biggest struggle, the biggest problem, you will rise above it because the power of the waters of salvation are working in you, brothers and sisters. You're a child of Abraham. You are circumcised in Jesus' name. There are some blessings that come with it. We are privileged. Yes, we are chosen. How? Jesus himself said about Zacchaeus, for he is also a son of Abraham. Ah, but he's a thief, Lord. Yes, but he's still a child of Abraham. Ah, are you with me? Say, I'm privileged because I'm baptized in Jesus. I'm a child of Abraham. Even Jesus recognized that and told everybody, though he's a thief, but he is a chosen thief. So there is a big difference between a normal thief and Zacchaeus the thief. Because as a thief, he was still the son of Abraham. So no matter what happens, please don't misunderstand. This message is not to tell you go and be a thief. God have mercy. What I'm saying is we are the children of Abraham through baptism in Jesus. We are a chosen people. Don't tell anybody. Don't let anybody tell you they are more chosen than you. No, no, no. We're all. What is there two types of baptism? Is there two types of circumcision? Is there two types of being filled with the Holy Ghost? No. So there is only one faith, one baptism, one Lord. Ah, hallelujah. Praise God. We are all saved the same way. So, here is Noah. What a great man. Let's say the name Noah. God bless him. We call our children Noah. Amen. It's become a famous name. You know what Noah means? It means rest. Rest. When you fear God, he will give you rest. Is the world troubling you? He will take you to a new world of rest. This world will not conquer you. This world, the old world wanted to destroy Noah. Where are they today? Where did they end up? God will give you rest through the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Another thing was there was no captain. But Jesus, God is the captain. And this is the only ship which also had no destination. Somebody say no destination. Does that trouble you? Do you need to know where God is taking you? There are some people who won't follow Jesus until they say, oh, sorry, where are we going? Where is this ship going to? You know? They want to make sure that it's leaving Folkestone and going to the other side, what a Calais or whatever, Dover to Calais. Otherwise, I can't. The name of the destination is not here. Can you trust God with where he's taking you? I'm speaking to Christians now who have entered the ship. There was another ship. That ship had a destination. The destination was Nineveh. But you know what? Jonah never made it to Nineveh the first time. He ended up in another destination which has no name. It's a moving destination. In the belly of a fish. Praise God. You see, God wants us to understand. Do not trust that which you are comfortable with. Do not decide which destinations you want to go. You are bought by his blood. You are his property. God said, go to Tarshish. But he said, I'm going to find a boat which goes to Nineveh. And where did he end up? He had no clue where he ended up. We don't know where he ended up. Because when you're in the belly of a great fish, it could have been in the U.S. It could have been in China. They move around, yeah, these great fishes. It's like the Ark of Noah. And when, you know, the difference is Noah is in a proper ship above the surface of the sea. But Noah was in a submarine. Which one do we want to be in? Do you want to be in a submarine? But the both of them had one thing in common. Both of them did not know the destination. So ultimately, whether we want to be like Noah or like Jonah, we end up the same. Jesus will be the pilot. Jesus will be the captain. Jesus will determine where he wants to take us. Can we say amen? I don't like submarines. I've never been in one. I don't think it's easy to get in one. But if I'm offered the chance, I'm already prepared to say no, thank you. Thank God there's a Navy that takes care of that. I never had a desire to join the Navy. God bless the Navy. Important job. But I don't like water too much. I'm a land creature. But Jesus, wherever you want to take me, I'm ready to go. So both had one thing in common. God will win, brothers and sisters. He will be the captain of our salvation. He will determine whether your ship will go to Ararat or it will go to a place called Tarshish. Say with me, lead, Jesus, lead. Wherever you want to take me, that's the best place for me. Ararat. You know, I'm sure Noah had no clue when he landed. God told him, he must have asked God, excuse me, where am I, Lord? Do you think there was an airport sign saying, welcome to Mount Ararat, welcome to Turkey? Nothing. Every sign is destroyed. You wouldn't know if you were in New York or whether you were in Timbuktu. When God acts, he acts. All these man-made, names of countries and boundaries, it's all man-made. God owns this earth. It's his earth. He will put us where he wants us to be. Amen. Say, wherever you take me, Lord, that place is my Ararat. That place is my Tarshish. That place is my Galilee. That place is my Corinth or Thessalonica. That place is my Caesarea Philippi. Peter, arise, kill and eat. Go to the house of Cornelius. Go to this place, Caesarea Philippi. No, Lord, no. Let's not argue with God. Do we like to argue with the captains and ships? Do you like to argue with the bus driver? Do you like to argue with the pilot of a plane? Don't do that. They'll kick you out. Respect the one who's in the captain's seat. I don't understand why people trouble bus drivers, taxi drivers. I always show them great respect. Thank God for the work they do. Respect Jesus. He said, follow me. Follow me. Amen. Let's follow him. Let's be good followers of Jesus. I don't want Jesus to say, oh, there he comes. This guy is the most troublesome follower of mine. God have mercy. No, no, no. I want to be a humble follower. He says, go here, you go there. Sit here, sit here. Jump, jump. Be at peace. Anyhow, you can't do much in the ark, Noah. You can't do much in the belly of the whale, the belly of the great fish, Jonah. Time to trust in him. Praise God. Say praise Jesus. Say thank you, Lord. I'm speaking about our lives today. Amen. I hope you are allowing Jesus to be the captain of your ship. Let's make it a pleasant trip for him and for ourselves. When the waters receded, he landed on Mount Ararat. He came out. The world was silent. God had pushed the reset button. Brothers and sisters, God can push the reset button of your life anytime. Many times I told the Lord, please push the reset button. Please push the reset button. I want to start again with you. When you repent, it's like you are coming off the boat into Mount Ararat. God is giving you a new chance. All things are passed away. All things have become new. Say with me, repentance is to come down from Mount Ararat. God gives you a new beginning. Say a new beginning. Everybody loves a new beginning. A new beginning. A fresh start. It's repentance. Repentance is good. Tell God, Lord, I repent, and he will bury the old world. He will push the reset button and say, start again. Start again. 70 times 7, I forgive you. Praise God. The Bible says in Genesis 8, verse 4, and the ark rested in the seventh month, excuse me, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. Exact date that God told Noah, 40 days and 40 nights. That's the only thing he revealed to him. But where he would land, he didn't know. Praise God. They landed in new land, one that would now belong to them. Not by conquest or by inheritance, but by divine appointment. So by divine appointment. God has a place for you by divine appointment. Amen. Whatever you're living, say today, it's by divine appointment. Amen. Are you in London? Say, I'm here by divine appointment, Brother Simon. Brother Merawi, are you in the Netherlands? Brother Lash and others, say, we are here by divine appointment. Are you in Toronto, Canada? Say, I'm here by divine appointment. Oslo, Norway, I'm here by divine appointment. In Jesus' name. We are here by divine appointment. I'm in Ash, Denmark. We were there. Beautiful place. I'm in Mumbai, India. Brother Kumar Wilson. Praise God. God bless you. By divine appointment. I'm here by divine appointment. God chose for this ark to rest in. God opened the door for me to come out. Amen. What should I do? I will sacrifice to God. I will begin with worship. Amen. I will begin with worship. They continued to do what they were doing in the ark. Amen. Have you noticed some people when God saves them from something horrible? Oh my goodness. During that period, the doctor says, I'm sorry, you have cancer. And they start to cry, worship. 40 days and 40 worship, and then you are healed. And then they come out of that ark called the hospital and they forget God. No, 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 no. We will enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. We will enter his courts with praise. And not only will we enter, when we leave, we will also leave worshiping. When we leave, we will leave with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. That's why God loved David. You know, David seemed to worship God more and more, the more he was blessed. The richer he became, the more he wants to worship God. Because his heart was not in these things. His heart was in his God, whom he loved so much. Some people change when God blesses them. Not David. When he was poor, when his family neglected him, he didn't care. He had everything he needed. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. It doesn't matter whether my family invites me or not. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you the secret of contentment in this life. Find your Bethlehem with Jesus. Ah, you're listening to me. Find your Bethlehem with Jesus. What do I mean? Find the place where God is sufficient for you, where you are so close to him. You worship him, you love him, and you just become comfortable with him. You will not want anything else. Is there anything outside of God to want? Are we joking? Then those people who think there's something else, they don't know God. David found God, and he knew God is sufficient. He said, my cup runneth over. Ah, somebody say, my cup runneth over. That means I have a cup. Normally, when it's filled, you should say enough. But his cup is running over with God. What are you running over with? Say, with Jesus, I'm running over. Oh, hallelujah. He's so full of Jesus that he needs 50 more Davids to contain a little bit of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Once you find your Bethlehem with Jesus and you are content and you are happy, people will start to look around for you. Excuse me. Do you know where David is? That's what happened. Somebody's missing. That proves he was so content with his God that they had to find him. Excuse me, we are jealous because we don't have what you have. The whole of Israel needs what you have. So the time of you enjoying Jesus alone is over. Praise God. Amen. Amen. If you have enough of Jesus in you and your cup is flowing over, I'm telling you, suddenly they will be calling for you. They'll say, David, Israel needs you. Hallelujah. May we be content with Jesus. May we find contentment in Jesus. Hallelujah in Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. Say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Can you say with me? I shall not want in Jesus. Only want Jesus. And you will be content. Praise God. Hallelujah. So Noah came out of the ark worshiping. Amen. We don't expect anything less, Noah. Especially with you who has experienced all that you've experienced. There is no welcome party to receive him except God. Of course, the devil is not far away. Let me tell you, the devil is not that powerful. We shouldn't praise him too much give him too much attention. The Lord was mocking the devil. The devil must have said, I destroyed the whole world. I'm so powerful. And the Lord said, here, now you have only 8 people to deal with. Let's see how you do. Try again to destroy the world. You'll see. It's not going to happen because I'm going to make a covenant with them. This man deserves a covenant for the whole of humanity. The devil must have been shocked. What? No, 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 don't do that. Listen, devil, listen. Come here. Listen to the covenant that we're going to make. I shall no more destroy the earth. Do you know that one man, Noah, by his life, he managed to get this contract for us in Jesus' name? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If you have one Noah around you, he can get this deal for you. Donald Trump keeps talking about deals, 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 40%, 30%, 10%. We are not talking about those kinds of deals. We need a deal from Jesus. Praise God. We need a deal from heaven, not economic deals. We need a Noah to make a deal for us with God. What kind of deal did he make for us? He sacrificed to God. He must have told God, Lord, don't do this again, please. I mean, have mercy on us. We are weak. My children are weak. I am weak. We know that he sinned after a little while. Have mercy on us, God. Don't destroy this world again, please. And God said, I will never again. And here is proof. Here is my signature. Here is my signature on this contract. So every time I see a rainbow, I say, God bless Noah. He made this contract. This is the contract between Noah and God. Remember this. Thank God for the memory of Noah. Praise God. I hear scientists trying to describe the colors and this and this, and something in me just says, God, have mercy. I feel so sorry. Is that all you? This is God's signature on the clouds to remind us the Bible is true. God made a contract. Tell your children that's a contract. That's why water will never again destroy this earth. That is a sign. Praise God. What a beautiful story. No story like the Bible story. That's why the devil is mad. He's written so many books and he can never write one book like the Bible. Praise God. Stories that just bless us, that fill our thoughts, our minds, our souls. Praise God. Hallelujah. Abel offered unto the Lord a most excellent sacrifice than Cain. But let me tell you, Noah's sacrifice secured a contract for us with God. Hallelujah. Noah builded an ark, altar unto the Lord, took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, offered burnt offerings on the altar. Hallelujah. Noah's sacrifice was an act of worship and gratitude. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me conclude by saying, Noah was transplanted to the new world, a clean world, a pure world, through water. When Adam was kicked out of the Garden of Eden and in a sense came to a new world, he did not come there by water because it was cursed. People who go to hell, there's no water between the two. That's what Abraham is saying. There is a gulf, there is a chasm. If you want to go to heaven, the means of transport is water baptism in Jesus' name. Everyone who went to a better world went there by water. Say amen. The children of Israel left slavery through water. They crossed the Red Sea into a better world, although they had to suffer a bit. Then they crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, the promised land. Brothers and sisters, one of these days, those of us who are baptized in Jesus' name, saved by water, the waters will prevail along the way. Do you feel the power of the water prevailing? Even if your problem is as high as Mount Everest, the water has the power to raise you up above Mount Everest, the tallest mountain. Let me tell you, that water has the power in Jesus to transport you to the new world. Say, one of these days, one of these days, I will enter into the new world because I've been baptized in Jesus' name. I repented. Hallelujah. I understood the mystery of salvation. I put off Adam and I put on Christ. I understood that the God of all the earth is called Jesus. And he's the only God. Because there is no other name under heaven amongst men by which I must be saved. No other name saves. None of them are the name of God. except the name Jesus. Because God is one, he has to have one name. Praise God. Everybody should have one name. I mean, you carry your father's name, but that is really not your name. Yeah. Your father or your mother gave you one name. I mean, in Iceland, by the way, they give the names of the mother as a surname. So they're called something dottir. Dottir means daughter. It's more matriarchal. But what is your name? Jesus had the name which was a combination of the Spirit, the Father, and the flesh. How about that? Yahushua. Yahushua means Jehovah has become our salvation. So just in that name, you could see the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is one. The name proves he's one. Ah, hallelujah. Praise Jesus. But you carrying your father or mother's name, you in a sense are carrying the names of two people, yeah? Your name and your father or your mother. So in a sense, you are one person carrying two names. But Jesus appears to be the only person who only had one name. Because he is one person. When you say Father, Son, Holy Ghost, that's not a name. There's a titles of the same person. But what is his name? His name is Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Father, Son, Holy Ghost does not save people from their sins. Otherwise, Gabriel would say, you shall call his name Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But he said, you shall call his name Jesus. Because he, who, Jesus, will save his, yes, because he's one, his people from their sins. We are many there, but he's one, his. Ah, hallelujah. My God's name is Jesus. He saved me from my sins in the name of Jesus. When I repented, I said, forgive me, Jesus, for my sins. When I went in the water in baptism in Jesus' name, I heard the preacher say, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. For there is no other name. Say, no other name. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost becomes invalid. Why don't you people baptize in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Because Peter, in Acts 4:12, the man who has the keys to the kingdom of, he said, there is no other name. And who are you? He is the one who's given the keys. He said, the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the gospel and believe. Acts 15, verse 7. No higher authority on the earth after Jesus. He said, there is no other name. So stop baptizing in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Obey Peter. Jesus said, he who hears me, hears you, hears me. Amen. Luke 10, 16. He who hears you, hears me. Shall we hear Peter? Shall we be baptized in the name of Jesus? If you are baptized in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, those waters will not prevail. There is no salvation in those waters. You will not end up in the right place. Because obedience is everything. Obedience is better. To obey is better than to sacrifice. Saul was not an unbeliever, King Saul. He just was a man. He didn't like to obey the prophets. He liked to twist things and, adjust. And he ended up dead. He ended up in a false doctrine. Let's obey. Let's fear Jesus. Let's fear the words of the apostles. Let us submit to Acts 2:38. When they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? In verse 37, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Why? For the remission of sins. If you're not, your sins are not forgiven. And don't stop there. Is there more? Yes. you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. God is now going to destroy the world by fire. But you can save yourself by fire beforehand. The fire that fell on the day of Pentecost is getting ready to leave this earth soon and to take people with it to heaven. Amen. Where is this fire? I can't see it. Well, close your eyes. Say, Jesus, fill me with this fire. The tongues of fire which came on the day of Pentecost. Let it not return before it comes into me, Jesus. Because you promised in Joel 2:28, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh in the last day, saith the Lord. Praise God. Receive ye the Holy Ghost, Jesus. Jesus bless you abundantly. We thank God for the story of Noah. Say, remember Noah. Say, remember Noah. May you receive the blessing of Noah. The story of Noah is a man who decided to love God and fear God, to leave evil, like Job. Such people, they always end up well. The people I'm worried for, the people who don't fear God and eschew evil, hate evil. Don't you respect your soul? Hell is not a good place. Do you want to torture yourself forever and ever and ever? There is such a place. Let us fear God. Let us depart from evil. Let us beg him for mercy. Let us be covered by the blood of Jesus. Let us join with those who call on the name of Jesus. Like-minded people who fear God. Hallelujah. Jesus bless you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come before your throne. I thank you for reminding us of Noah. These stories never get old. They are so powerful. Because you're a powerful God who makes people like Noah into great people. Because they were men and women of a great God. We thank you for this message. Because we're living in the days of Noah, it's clear. And we ask you for grace and strength in these days of Noah, where people once again are becoming rich and affluent, and along with it, the fear of God declines, and people begin to worship other things. They were buying and selling, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. They had time for everything except for Jesus, except for God. Lord, we ask you to please protect us from such preoccupations. It is true. We live in such days. We hardly look at a screen and we are bombarded with advertisements. The days of Noah. The days of Noah upon us. Who shall escape, Jesus? Only those who love you. The spirit of Noah did not leave with Noah. It is still here. We are the people who serve you in the spirit of Noah. So please remember us, Jesus. Deliver us, Jesus, from these forces, this deluge of sin that already has killed so many people and is threatening to silence the Bible and the word of God. Have mercy upon us. Remember us. Keep us from the temptations of this world. Give us the resilience of Noah. Give us the patience of Noah. Above all, give us the obedience of Noah. All of this we pray in the holy name of the one and only God, Jesus Christ. And the church says, Amen. Amen. Jesus bless you abundantly.